It's Ben Nicholson Smith, baseball editor from Sportsnet.ca. Good evening, Ben. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Guys, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
So Alex Anthopoulos takes the Braves job, which could you make the comparison, Ben, that this Braves, we're not going to say roster, we're going to say organization, because a lot of what the Braves have to offer may not come up through the pipeline until maybe 2018, 19, 2020, and so forth. So it's going to be a little bit of a build and a little bit of a nurture and get these prospects up to where they are. But if you're looking at a minor league system, this might be the best in baseball. Am I right?
Yeah, it's right up there, and led by arguably the best prospect in baseball, Ronald Acuna, a guy who played at three levels of the minor leagues this past season, and at every level, he just kept hitting better. So that's a great sign. Someone who's regarded as a real up-and-coming prospect who could be in the majors next year. And beyond that, they have lots of starting pitching, including Mike Soroka, a Canadian. They have Ozzie Albies, who broke in at the big league level, Dansby Swanson. These are all young players who can help the Braves get to a level that they haven't been at in recent years. And I think Alex Anthopoulos is a really good choice for that organization as they try to take the next steps, because he's been in a similar spot before where he took over a team that, for a variety of reasons, wasn't where it needed to be when he became Blue Jays GM, and he ultimately led them to their first playoff appearance, an American League Championship Series performance, and really set up the 2016 team that returned to that same level. So I think it's a great hire by the Braves, and I can see why Anthopoulos wanted the job.
How much do you think he'll take from his 2+ years as a part of the baseball ops department with Farhan Zaidi and Andrew Friedman in Los Angeles? Obviously, it's a different situation because they had tons of money to spend on international free agents and draft picks and free agents in general. But do you think there's a lot that he can sort of lean on, and obviously from his time in Toronto going forward with the Braves?
I think there is, Josh, and I think that there's a give and take there with the Dodgers and with Anthopoulos, because from speaking to Farhan Zaidi, the Dodgers GM, earlier this afternoon, he was saying that Anthopoulos, in his time as the GM, or as one of the VPs with the Dodgers, was really able to show the others in that Dodgers leadership group a lot of things about the way that he approached baseball and the way that he approached leadership. So that's something that the Dodgers take away from Anthopoulos. And by extension, he's able to learn from being in that environment too, which for a lot of reasons was a very, very different environment than the one that he worked in Toronto. So I think there's a give and take. I think that Anthopoulos no doubt gained something from that experience and a World Series run that just ended a couple of weeks ago. But it will be interesting to see where that lands and what kind of a GM he is this time around.
How much do you think he factored in the, I don't know if there's going to be any, you know, ramifications from the whole scouting scandal involving the former GM, John Coppola. Do you think that factored into his decision? Do you think there's maybe something in the tea leaves that leads him to believe that there might not be that harsh of a penalty? Or do you think the opportunity was just too good to pass up with this franchise?
Yeah, I think when it came to the penalty, I mean, you're not going to take away prospects that had been drafted or signed years in advance. It would have to be, you know, more recent signees, guys who had been brought on under less than legal terms by Coppola and the Braves' previous administration. So I would guess that for the most part, those top prospects will stay in Atlanta, and Anthopoulos will have a lot to work with there as he tries to turn around a team that really does, you know, at the major league level, this is not a good baseball team.
Yeah.
So they do have a lot of work to do, even though they have Ender Inciarte, Freddie Freeman. They've got some good pieces, but, you know, as we've seen the last couple Octobers, if you want to make any noise in the playoffs, you have to have an abundance of major league caliber pieces. And this current Braves roster does not offer that right now.
No, not just yet, but who knows? This could be a future Houston Astro type organization. We'll have to see. We're in conversation with Ben Nicholson Smith here, Sportsnet tonight, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. A lot of Jays talk I want to get to in a second, but one of the hotter rumors out there, and I want to know if you're hearing anything from your front being at the MLB GM meetings, is Giancarlo Stanton continues to be the rumors of multiple trade offers and teams that are lining up. There's some of the heavyweights, too, of MLB with the Red Sox, the Giants, the Phillies, who have a lot of money to spend. The Cardinals are in on it as well. So he has 10 years left on this deal, just under $300 million. Is it realistic to think, Ben, that this guy will for sure, considering how much that tag is, for sure be moved sometime this offseason?
I hesitate to say for sure just because we've seen it before, and you know, you date back to, you know, whether it is the first time that Roy Halladay was on the trade block, or you think back to guys like Cliff Lee, Jake Peavy, you know, these big trades that are rumored for a while, and then it takes a while for them to be completed. So I think there's zero chance that Giancarlo Stanton spends the next 10 years in Miami. I mean, we can say that. And I think that it's extremely likely that he'll be traded within the next month. But I wouldn't say that it's an absolute guarantee just because these things can fall through. Derek Jeter has a change of heart. Stanton has a change of heart. You could have a bunch of different things conspire to keep him there. But, yeah, like you said, when you have motivated buyers, teams like the Red Sox and Cardinals, who have the talent to get him, who have the financial means to pay him, and who are basically saying openly, we want this guy or we want someone like him, that sets up a very strong likelihood that he's going to be traded.
I feel like most assume that money would have to be eaten on Miami's end in order to move that. I'm not sure how much he has. I think it's over $200 million left on the deal. But if there's teams like Boston or Philly that are super motivated to get him, do you think that maybe decreases the chances that they would have to eat money? Or do you think it's just the type of thing that the contract is such an albatross that money's just going to have to be eaten to get a deal done?
I don't know. I don't know that the contract necessarily is such an albatross. I mean, if Stanton were a free agent today, I think he would be well within his rights to ask for $300 million or more. So, you know, when J.D. Martinez is reportedly looking for $200 million, wow. I think we would all agree that Stanton's a better hitter and he's younger. And so, to me, the idea of signing Stanton to a 10-year deal at $30 million per season, I mean, that's pretty reasonable. So I think his contract is actually fine. And we haven't seen a lot of them like it, so there's a bit of shock value. But partly that's because guys like Mike Trout haven't hit free agency. I mean, Trout signed an extension that kept him off the free agent market. Bryce Harper hits free agency next year. When he hits free agency a year from now, the idea of $295 million over 10 years is going to seem like pocket change compared to what he's asking for. So, yeah, I think that when it comes to his salary, I do think that teams will balk at it, but I'm just not sure that they should. And maybe that, I don't know, maybe that says it all right there, that some teams would balk at it. But if you're a big market team and you need a slugger, I mean, for the Boston Red Sox, for example, they're already going over the luxury tax. Just go for it.
Yeah, could be. And if you had a player like that, you're definitely going over a luxury tax. Hey, we're in conversation with Ben Nicholson-Smith, baseball editor here at Sportsnet.ca. You're listening to Sportsnet tonight on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, David Bastel and Josh Goldberg with you on the Monday. The Blue Jays, how active are they going to be here at the meetings? Or is this something that we're going to be looking at throughout this offseason, that the Jays aren't going to be quick shoppers, but are they even going to be shoppers at all, Ben?
They will be shoppers. There's no question about that. I'm not convinced that they're going to be shopping for the absolute top names on the market. I mean, you think about guys like J.D. Martinez, Jake Arrieta, Yu Darvish. I'm not expecting those guys to sign in Toronto. I do think that Shohei Ohtani is going to be a guy that they have interest in and at least try to see what his interest level is in potentially coming to Toronto. Now, that being said, 29 other GMs are going to be doing the same thing, because whenever he does sign, Ohtani is going to be one of the most valuable players in baseball, because he hits, he pitches, and he makes very little money. And that is a combination that I don't think any other player in Major League Baseball offers, certainly not the hitting and pitching at once part. So he's going to be a great value for someone. I do think the Jays will at least see if he's interested in coming here. But beyond that, I could see them signing some of the mid-tier free agents, guys who aren't necessarily the headliners along the lines of a Darvish or an Arrieta, but guys that help address some needs as this club looks to get better for 2018.
Can you make a comparable to somebody that's MLB right now for Ohtani, and what would be that guy?
I guess the closest would almost be to combine two players into one, because we really haven't seen much like this at all.
Exactly.
You know, Madison Bumgarner on days that he DH'd one time when the Giants were playing in American League Park. So if you think, I guess Bumgarner would be the closest comparable, where if you imagine Bumgarner, and by all accounts, Ohtani could be an ace-level pitcher like Bumgarner. So you take him, but then instead of hitting once a week when his team is, or when he's pitching for his team, you could have Bumgarner hitting twice a week and then pinch hitting once or twice a week in a close situation. I mean, that would be a very valuable player. And I think that, for me, I can't imagine Ohtani playing 4 days a week in the field. I can't see it happening. Or 4 days out of five, I should say. But if you get him into three games a week and you get him in the course of a year, 200, 250 plate appearances, that's a lot. That's enough to really create some value at the plate.
Wow. So you really think that he could,
that's crazy,
be a starting pitcher in a rotation and log, I guess, let's say 170 or 175 innings, and also play, start in the outfield, let's say two days a week? You really think major league teams will pursue that option for him?
So here's, normally I would say no, but here's the great thing about Ohtani, and this is why I'm really excited to see him come over to Major League Baseball. He is in a position, as far as these contract talks, that he gets to choose his team. So in a sense, he can tell interested teams, this is important to me, which he has said publicly, it's important to him to try pitching and hitting. So if that's the case, and you're a team that's trying to win him over, maybe you almost have to offer him this opportunity as a condition of trying to get him, because otherwise somebody else is going to come along, and maybe it's the Rays or maybe it's the Padres, and they say, hey, this is our way to get him. We're not going to necessarily have the flashiest stars to surround him with, but we can offer him this. So once one team does, then and this is me, you know, speaking hypothetically here, but I wonder if every team at that point has to say, all right, if we're serious and this guy really wants to do both, then we might have to offer him this to have a seat at the table.
That would be very interesting. I personally would love to see that.
Babe Ruth did it, but I can't really think of guys in like the last 25 years or more that have had that kind of hybrid role in a Major League Baseball team.
Very cool. Very cool. We're in conversation with Ben Nicholson-Smith, baseball editor here at sportsnet.ca. Josh Donaldson enters the final year of his contract. Are we going to see any sort of negotiations here in the next couple of months to figure out what's going on with this prize piece for the Blue Jays, or is your feel that the Jays are going to ride this out into the season?
I think that there will be negotiations with Donaldson, at least on a one-year deal in January when his arbitration comes up. And I would imagine that both sides at least explore the possibility of a longer deal, because Donaldson has said he wants to stay in Toronto, and the Blue Jays owe it to themselves, first of all, because Donaldson's a great player and they have every reason to want him to remain on their team. And they owe it to their fan base, and they owe it to the other players and coaches on the team to see if there's common ground to be found with their best player, one of the best players that has really played for this franchise, certainly in recent years and more broadly. I mean, there aren't a lot of guys in Blue Jays history who have dominated the opposition the way that Josh Donaldson has. So that conversation will occur. Now, will it lead anywhere? I don't know. I think that it's a really tough thing to lure a player away from free agency when he is less than 12 months away. And at this point, Josh Donaldson is less than 12 months away from free agency. So I'm not holding my breath thinking that they're going to assign him to an extension. I mean, I honestly, I'd be surprised if they do sign him to an extension, but it's possible. And I do think that those discussions will at least occur.
Other than the Jays, the one team I'm really keeping an eye on this offseason is the Kansas City Royals. It sounds like their GM, their president of baseball ops, Dayton Moore, was actually the Braves' number one choice, but for whatever reason, he's still there. And now they're talking about trying to re-sign both of Moustakas and Eric Hosmer, and Lorenzo Cain, I guess, is the odd man out. What do you think it's going to take to re-up those two guys who are still in the primes of their career and likely to have a lot of suitors from other teams?
$250 million,
yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, because so Hosmer, I'm assuming that he's going to sign for somewhere in the $120 to $140 million range. And Moustakas could be over $100 million too. So if you add those two contracts up, you get to $250 pretty quickly. I don't think that the Royals are necessarily ready to move on from what's been one of the most successful windows in their franchise history, and understandably so. These guys are good players. I mean, Hosmer, Moustakas, they both bring power. In recent years at least, they've been able to contribute with some on-base skills and some average as well, some defense. There's a lot of reasons to be interested in these guys, but ultimately I don't think that Kansas City is going to land them both back. Some of this might depend on Stanton because he is that big bat, and if the Red Sox land him, then maybe that eases the path back to Kansas City for someone like Eric Hosmer. If they don't land Stanton, then all of a sudden the Red Sox might spend on a guy like Hosmer. So the Giants figure into this as a team that could conceivably spend on Moustakas. The Giants are also a good fit for Lorenzo Cain and for Stanton. So it's great. You know, this time of year you have all these pieces moving together, and it tends to be the big ones that shift the entire landscape for everyone else.
Ben, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the rest of the meetings, and we'll talk again.
Anytime, David. Thanks, guys.